Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're so happy to have you back with us in this beautiful afternoon. We're back in the studio, and Shelley has joined us again, and she was there a little bit at the end. And Janelle and Haley are here again also, and they're going to be sharing a little storytelling.
They are.
How Tara does it. It's beautiful.
You're
yes,
so funny.
I love it.
One of the guys at the mission this week, and he goes, "You're kind of like one of those teacher storytellers that little kids like to sit and enjoy." I'm like, You know, but I wanted to, I appreciated that he said that because he actually was glad that I do it. But I want to explain so that Janelle and Haley can understand. 75% of the world's population prefers to hear. And oftentimes when we are teaching, we will use very highly literate means. And so we are trying to use a method, which is the biblical storytelling or biblical narrative, because it reaches 75% of the world's population. I read an article by a man named Chris Ammons. He was a missionary overseas. And in his article, he said that there are three levels to generational teaching. And oftentimes we will get stuck in the first generation of teaching. The first generation of teaching is I have something to say and you just need to listen. Okay, and that's typical in a classroom setting or preaching. You know, it's I have it, you need to just listen. That is first generational thinking. Second generational thinking is I have something to say, but you learn a certain way. And so second generational teachers will teach to the one and how they learn. And so that's why we're using biblical narrative, because it draws them in. And we use questions because then that brings them in further. But third generational teaching doesn't just listen and speak so that they're speaking to the one that's listening to them. It teaches it in such a way that they in turn can communicate it to the next one, and then they can communicate it to the next one. It is looking at a multiplication of teaching. And so the sign of good teaching is generationally, the one that not just follows me, but the one that follows them, can they do it? And biblical narrative is the method that produces and reproduces and recall an understanding better than any other method. And so that's why we use it. Now, the awesome thing is so when I ask the ladies in between the sessions on the radio, who is willing to tell our Bible story? Who thinks that they could do it? Janelle says, I think I can.
I love it.
Now, here's the deal.
The
little engine that could. Yes, all right. But here's the deal. You have a lifeline. You have the Word of God in front of you. Use it if you need it. But you can also ask us, like, if you freeze and you just give us a look, we'll add in. We'll do, you know, like how they do on that TV show. I never watched the game show, but I know that on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire,
oh,
they have
yes,
a lifeline.
They have lifelines.
We'll do
yeah.
lifelines and
okay.
stuff. So you don't have to feel pressure, you know, one way or the other. But we're excited because Janelle's going to give it to us today.
That's right.
We're doing Luke 5, 1 through 11.
Okay. So the story starts with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, and he's going alone to pray, and he's trying to get time alone to himself, which is kind of a rare thing for Jesus because people are around him. He's quite the popular person, and people keep crowding around him so much so that he can't get in a word edgewise with his prayer, and they just continue to circle him and push him so much so that he's up against the sea, and eventually he's forced out onto a boat, and he preaches to them from the boat because he's so filled with compassion for them. And we talked a little bit last time about how the acoustics of the water just would amplify his voice. And so he would teach them from that boat. And then when he was done with that, he told Peter to go out into deep water and to put his nets in to catch some fish. The thing was, Peter is a fisherman, and he knew that the best time to catch fish was at night when the water was cool, and they'd been trying all night to catch fish, and it hadn't been working. And he said, okay, Jesus, just paraphrase here, we'll do what you say, but it doesn't seem to be working, but if you say so, we'll do it. That sounds cool. And so they let down their nets, and what happened was the nets filled so much with fish that they began to break, and they had to call out to other fishermen and other people to come out and help them with their fish so that way their boat wouldn't sink. And Peter's response was to just be astounded by Jesus and to say, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. He was amazed at Jesus' power and realized that it brought out that impurity in himself. Oh. And all of the disciples were also astonished that were with them. And Jesus said to Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be fishers of men." And they put their boats up on the shore, and they left everything and began to follow him.
I love it. Good job. Too. Yay.
Wow.
Yay.
Wow. That's
awesome.
Perfect.
You did a great job, Janelle.
Why, thanks.
Okay. So you need to come back.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thought. I want us to focus in this segment on Jesus as the master teacher. The other gospel writers referred to him in these settings as rabbi, but Luke chose to write that this miracle story that and it shows that Jesus is the master, and he shows Simon Peter calling him the master. And the Holman New Testament commentary, they had this phrase, and I thought it was so powerful. Listen to what they said. They said, "The master's words take precedence over human experience or human knowledge." Mm. The master's words take precedence over human experience or human knowledge. And that's where I'm wanting us to sit today. I'm wanting us to dialogue about the master teacher. Here we have Jesus as the master teacher on shore, teaching to the people, the master teacher in the boat, and Peter obeying, the master teacher in the casting of the nets and the fish coming in, the master teacher when sin is realized and the peace that he gives. So as master teacher, for opening, I just want to hear from each of you. How have you personally encountered the master teacher? What is something that God is doing and teaching you as the master teacher right now in your life? I'll give you a few seconds to think. For me right now, I have been praying through a lot because I have a speaking engagement coming up. Actually, it'll be past by the time of this recording, but for Calvary Chapel. And been praying through about the Holy Spirit and how God gives us the Spirit of truth in us. And so I have been learning from the master teacher what it means to have the Spirit of truth and just really pondering that. So what are ways that you are encountering the master teacher? Because they did in their everyday life, in a boat, on a seashore. What's God doing? Anybody got something?
Well, for mine, kind of recently at the beginning of this semester, I had just felt like I was being awakened, and it wasn't really like a daily thing. It felt like kind of just like a wall that I just ran into that was kind of like a bam, this is what's going on. So it was really actually kind of epic for me. And it was just before I'd kind of been sitting there going to classes and kind of shuffling through, muddling along, and being like, you know, God, I don't know why I'm here, what I'm doing. And, you know, I felt like I was kind of just stuck in this mud puddle. And then, like, this one day, this one afternoon, he's just like, you know what? Go do something. Move. I have given you, like, you're in this opportune place. You're, you know, because I'm a student at Grace University, so I'm there. There are so many opportunities for growth and for learning and for teaching others and just so many things to do. And I'm, like, sitting there whining, like, I don't know what to do with my life. And he's like, are you serious? And so it was just really great for me. So ever since then, I've just felt so much more like awake and like so much more excited and filled with zeal and, you know, just excitement for like just his word and for learning and teaching and fellowship with others. And it's been really great. And I felt like that's kind of where he's been moving me right now, is where I'm like, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing in the next year, but that's not what I'm supposed to do. He's supposed to be like, you know, day by day, live for me.
And I love it. And, you know, Haley, I saw that in you, and that when you came up to me and you said, you know, I got the email about the radio show and people coming, and I don't really feel called to communications or radio, but I really want to do Bible study. and she's like, I want to come. And so that was you living out as the master teacher speaking into you. And so that's huge. That's huge that we do the follow through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in this passage, we see that Peter modeled that. Even though he had that moment of doubt, you know, he did follow through. Anybody else have something that the master teacher's working in your life on?
It'll start with you, Tara.
Okay.
Because you got me into this.
God did.
She always says that.
I know.
I'm just joking.
You know, at my ripe old age, I've gone back to school to get my master's in counseling. And it's because of my very brief, short conversation with Tara.
I had no idea.
About a year ago. And I was just very, I asked Tara, I'm like, Tara, how do you do it? You're a mom, you go to school, you do all this ministry. I mean, how do you do that? Because I kind of was considering going back to school. And, you know, she was just explaining it. You just make it work. And she's like, why? Why are you asking? And I said, well, you know, I've kind of been thinking about it, and I can't get there. And she just looked me in the eye with every ounce of breath that she had. And she's like, why aren't you doing that? And I said, I don't know. I guess maybe because I'm afraid. And she said, very directly, that's Satan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And from that moment on, I mean, I have known what my path is.
That's awesome.
And so I think the next day went home and started continuing down my path to get signed up for classes and to start the program. And so thanks to you.
You're in all these exams.
I'm in school now. But the cool thing is I have never once because I've been in the program about a year now, and I've never once worried about where I'm supposed to be once I'm done. And I just felt like, well, I still feel like, you know, God is going to open the door and lead me to where I'm supposed to be. So I'm going to hurry through this. A friend of mine said about a month or so ago, and she's like, I have a word for you. I was like, really? What would that be? And she's like, settle. I was like, okay. Now, I didn't like the word settle. I was like, I kind of like commit. And I kind of felt like I was kind of non-committal in my church home. And my husband and I had been kind of talking. And so we talked about it, and we committed to our church. And the next week, a church that has a licensed doctor of psychology on staff grabbed me by the hand and by the arm, and she said, you and I need to get together.
Huh.
So I am pursuing something that God had kind of put on my heart and has kind of led me through with the things that I've experienced in my life. And so I met with her, and she's like, where's your interest? And I said, well, you know, I don't necessarily want to work with the person that's been diagnosed with the disorder, but I want to work with the families of the people that have disorders, because I myself have walked through those trenches and valleys and the roller coaster of that. And that was exactly the area that she wanted to start a support group.
That's amazing.
And so tomorrow, please pray for me, I am meeting with her to start putting a plan together to do
this. That's
huge. And I have not, you know, and I didn't even pray for her. I mean, I just was like, I just have no worry in me where God is going to open the doors
for
me.
You never know where he opens those doors, do you? Mm-hmm.
No. Right. And so it's like allowing God to really work in that area.
Yeah, well, but, all areas. And it comes back, if we look at this passage, when God comes to us and he gives us a task, the answer is do not be afraid. Mm-hmm. Period. Mm-hmm. It is do not be afraid. Mm-hmm. I will be the first to confess, fear comes quickly. Mm-hmm. But if we are willing to turn to Jesus face to face, his response is completely humble. He was looking at Peter, and he was speaking into Peter without Peter even knowing the fullness of what was to come with Acts. His purpose, Jesus said, I will make you. So if the task is coming from God, we don't have to be afraid, because he says, I will make you, counselor, soccer coach, nurse. Right, Haley?
Yeah.
Yeah. Janelle, do you know yet?
Author.
Hopefully. Ah, author. And she'll give you a story of me drilling her with 1,000 questions on that one day, huh? But, you know, we have where we will allow the flesh, the fear within us, the lies of deceit inside us to rob us of the full measure of the abundant fish that sinks so much that we have to call in and say, I need help. Mm-hmm. I have so much abundance that Jesus has poured into my boat that I want to fill your boat right. too. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's wanting. And that's the reason why we have many here in the station instead of just one person in here going blah, 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 which was the original call for the radio show. Was for me just to come in and teach. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm not going to get in there and sit in front of a mic for an hour by myself. That would be crazy. Mm-hmm. Nobody would want to listen to that. But if I have help,
right.
abundantly full, immeasurably more will pour out from the Lord on us. And that's what he's wanting.
Can I share real yeah. quick? Okay. So for my master teacher recently, I think the month of February was a little bit of a blur for me, literally because I had LASIK surgery. No, I'm joking. But we sold our house. We had to pack it up. We'd been there 9.5 years. We moved in with my mom. So it wasn't even an easy move. I mean, there's storages and this. So it was a little difficult. But plus with the addition of the Grace job, it was just a lot all at once. So February was really, I think, trying. And I was tired, but do you know, so faithfully, God woke me up every day. I don't know why. I'll come across the verse, I'm sure, but at 4:36.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm-hmm. 4:36. And I would try to, I'd go to the bathroom, I'd try to go back to sleep, and the brain, and I was one, I can sleep very well. I like to get up in the morning and do my quiet time with the Lord, but I'm a good sleeper. Well, the brain wouldn't shut off, and I'd never experienced it like that before. So 4:36, faithfully, just got up, okay, Lord, I'm just sitting with you. So got me through that season, but I don't know, just blessed me with, I hadn't been around the woman at church as much as I usually am in just sharing with them and praying with them and whatnot. So the other night we had a meeting for the retreat, and just what God had been sharing with me that week was able to share with her. And I don't know, he's just so faithful to do that, because that's what is such a blessing to me.
To give back.
Yeah. Uh-huh. While I feel like I'm all cramped up in boxes and totes and trying to figure out job stuff. Yeah.
Giving the word.
Right.
Which goes back to when Jesus was standing at the edge of the lake, the people were crowding in to get the word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we will find our greatest abundant immeasurably more in giving the word. Now you need to come back in the next session, because we're about to wind down here, and we're going to continue our dialogue through Luke 5:1-11. We love hearing from you, so if you want to contact us, you can reach us through tararye.com, cultivatinghearts.org, or opendoormission.org. God bless.